Yo, check this out. This is Fresh Get Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Floyd Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C-Murder.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Busy Bomb.
Vice Womp.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Brand.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records reveal that addition to rappers are coming up, getting put on. We needed a platform to fight the mainstream. The show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on screen and follow with Wizard.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering and graphics, just download the song. Check out the archives and touch with the shows. Buddy, your content is muted, did you? Everything free to download and stream. Oh, yeah, we deserve the real.
Unstoppable, we beat, we fight our bitch, we represent. All them chillers on the mic, and we should love to all your fans. You keep the focus, bringing nothing but the rhythm. Come and tune into the dopest.
I'm a madman, going crazy, knocking all you rappers off. It's an aggressive side, he is beauty, it's a black dog. Hip hop ain't dead, represent for the legend. Rapping mumble rappers, so we ain't sitting on the hip. Thank you for the bliss, it's a Murder Master Music Show. Free the homie gangster, bro. I see these rappers on these streets. I got my chopper about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Keep it live forever, bitch, we coming now.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Murder Master Music Show. This is episode 593. Anybody that knows me knows I'm a huge fan of rap a lot. I've been since I was a kid, you know what I'm saying? Since that first Ghetto Boys tape that I saw with the four mug shots. Ever since then, buying anything and everything is Rap-A-Lot, man. One of my favorite Rap-A-Lot albums came out in 1993 by our guest tonight, you know what I'm saying? He was part of the Bring It On Posse song. I'm talking about the one and only DMG, you know what I'm saying? Rigor Mortis, man. Let's bring DMG on right now. How you doing, DMG?
Hey, man, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Man, it's a huge honor to have you back on the show. We had you on when we did that massive Rap-A-Lot roundtable about 5 years ago.
Right. I remember that.
That was amazing, you know what I'm saying? What have you been up to?
Oh, man, I've just been in the lab, man, you know, working, man, trying to stay busy, you know, trying to stay active out here, you know. Basically trying to work with the some of the youth, you know, trying to give back a little bit, put other artists on, and working on my project, reunion projects. Yeah, man, I've been pretty busy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, congratulations, you know, last year was the 25th anniversary of Rigor Mortis. To me, that's one of Rap-A-Lot's dopest albums. It's usually in the top 10 of that label for sure.
Thank you, man.
What are some of your thoughts and memories of that classic project?
Rigor Mortis was, of course, it was the first one, but it wasn't like one of my favorites. What had happened? It was basically the circumstances that surrounded it. It was when I first got to the company, and man, well, as a youth, as I started rhyming and doing music, it was always me and my cousin Mad Ron. So, you know, our dream was to make it together. And if one of us made it without the other one, then we would come back and get the other one. But when I got to Rap-A-Lot and got ready to do the record and release the record, well, he had got killed. So he actually, it was crazy because he had got killed on the news the night that we was doing Bring It On.
Wow.
So Bring It On was like a real hard song for me to do. I almost didn't make the cut because I couldn't lay the verse. It was hard. I just got the news, and actually I did the song on the Rigor Mortis album, the Rest in Peace song. I would start off with the phone ringing and all that. That was a true story. That was the night we actually did Bring It On that story happened. So that album, reflecting back on that album, it's kind of like a dark place for me, but I still love and respect the album because it helped get me to where I am today. So, you know, I'm thankful. I got grateful memories of it. you know.
Yeah, yeah. I remember the song you're talking about very well, Rest in Peace. You know what I'm saying? But I had no idea that that happened the night you guys recorded Bring It On, because you guys recorded that, what, early 93 or end of 92?
I think it was, yeah. I believe it was like early 93. Yeah, it was on the Till Death Do Us Part project. So that was right before Rigor Mortis. So yeah, that was early 93. Rigor Mortis dropped in July, so that was probably like March, somewhere like that.
So before you got to rap a lot, you know what I'm saying? You and Mad Rod, you guys were working on music up in Minnesota. Were you putting out tapes or anything?
Yeah, me and Mad, we grew up together. So we grew up working with each other our whole lives. And our goal was to, you know, get a deal and all of that. And, you know, God bless me when I was able to get the deal with Rap-A-Lot. It's just that it was a blessing and a curse, kind of like. It was the blessing to get the deal, but then the curse was I had Mad taken from me, so yeah, man, it was crazy, man. It was great.
That song Bring It On itself too. You put back a lot of guys on that song in the long year. With Big Bello,
3-2.
Rest in Peace, 3-2.
Ghetto MC,
Triple Struggle.
Yeah, man.
How did you, being up in Minnesota, how did you hook up a Rap-A-Lot with Scarface?
We connected through it was a concert they had up here. It was Ghetto Boys and MC Bree. And it was my sister's. She was a big MC Bree fan. So she wanted to go to MC Bree concert. And I wanted to go see the Ghetto Boys, so I was like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? It was her birthday, so I got some tickets to go. And I took her to the concert, and then at the end of the concert, you know, we had a good time. At the end of the concert, though, as everybody was filing out the club, we kind of got lost between the two of us, so I couldn't find her. So I was going back and forth in the club and then outside the club trying to find her, asking people if they seen her. Well, I seen one of my guys outside, and he said he had just seen her go back in the club, and she was looking for me. So I go back in the club. By then, the club is kind of empty, so I'm kind of jogging around the club, kind of like looking for her. And just not like, I wasn't looking. I wasn't paying attention, and I don't know if he was paying attention either. We kind of like bumped into each other. That person I bumped into happened to be Face. And we kind of looked at each other like, what's up? You know what I'm saying? We're like, well, what's up? You know what I'm saying? And I was like, oh, yeah, you are. He was like, yeah. And he was like, yeah. So I was like, okay. Then he asked me, like, well, where are the rappers at up here? Up here when we was in Minnesota. So I'm like, where are the rappers at? What? You looking at them. Basically, I'm like, you looking at him? And he was like, okay. So he gave me his room number and, you know, told me to come down to his room and bring my tape down there. So I brought my tape down there, man. And the rest was history. You know?
So you and Face just hit it off right away. Because when I first heard You Don't Hear Me, though, I got to admit, man, I almost thought that was like Face. I didn't even realize that was you at first. Did anybody ever tell you that you sounded eerily similar to Scarface?
You know what? I didn't really start hearing that or getting that till I got there. So I got to Rap-A-Lot. And we would be doing music together. And that's when I started hearing it. You know, previous to that, I didn't never really think we sounded alike, or I didn't even think we were anything similar. But once I got there, I started hearing that a lot. Then once You Don't Hear Me, though, dropped on The World Is Yours first, you know, it really started happening then. Like, everybody was like, oh, you sound like Face. You know what I'm saying? Okay. But that wasn't my goal. My goal wasn't to sound like Face. I did admire Face. I admired his style. you know, his patterns and the way he would put his rhymes and words together. So when I got there and I told him that, you know, that's what we worked on. So we would sit down and when we would do music, we would sit down at a table or in a room or whatever, and we would go over patterns and, you know, come lines and all of that. That's how we worked together. So, you know, it started then and it's all the way up to now. So that's the one thing I did pick up from Faces. You know, we worked on a lot of patterns, you know, different patterns.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, Rap-A-Lot, so many legends on that label, you know what I'm saying, Gangsta Nip. I mean, we can go on and on. You've been one of the guys, I believe, you know, you've really shined at Rap-A-Lot because you was on, I think, 2 Ghetto Boys albums in a row with 2 different lineups, you know what I'm saying? Big Mike, obviously, on the Tibet Do His Part, and, of course, Willie D was back on, you know what I'm saying, Resurrection. But then, of course, he was in Face Mob. You know what I'm saying? What was it like for you being from the Midwest to be the first Midwest artist on Rap-A-Lot? This before they signed Do or Die or Snipers or anybody, man. What was it like for you to be from a different area down with the South's, you know what I'm saying, biggest record label?
Oh, man, I can't lie, man. It was lovely. I mean, it was different. You know, it was a thing like where, you know, I knew that coming from where I came from, coming from St. Paul, Minnesota, it was so small, Minneapolis, and it was like, you know, that was Prince pretty much had it on lock, Prince, Jimmy Jam, them. So it basically, if you wasn't singing, you didn't really have an opportunity here. So it was one of those things where it's like I knew I had to leave in order to be heard and then to go down south, where it was gangster music at, street music, and to be able to successfully get on a label out there and be active on a label, it was a blessing, man. It was a blessing. You know, I'm very, very, very thankful and grateful for that. You know, I shout out Jay Prince on that. Shout out Face on that. You know, it was a golden opportunity at that time in my life. You know what I mean? And it was a blessing, man. Especially to be from the Midwest.
I always thought that, you know, because I remember when I first got your album, I was like, man, where do you from? But then you start saying St. Paul, and I was like, wow, this, you know, it's like Rap-A-Lot's branching out. You know, they got Seagram from the West Coast. They got you from the Midwest.
Right.
You kind of were like the Midwest ambassador for Rap-A-Lot. You know, what was it like for you when you went back home to St. Paul after you had, you know what I'm saying, already been on the Ghetto Boys album, got your own album out of your own? And what was it like going back home?
It was crazy, man. I remember a lot of people didn't even really believe it was me. It was like, yeah, right. So once I ran into that, it kind of like, I don't know, it was different, man, you know. And then, you know, as the posters and videos and stuff started coming out, then people would really recognize it was me. But home has always been home, you know. And no matter where I go around the country, when I come home, it's different. So home was very receptive of it. I appreciated that. Now, of course, you had some haters. But for the most part, home was, they were receptive of it, and they were loving it because nobody was never screaming St. Paul, Minneapolis on rap records. So they were loving it for that. And just to be able to say that, you know, one of ours has went somewhere and achieved, you know, to be on records with Ghetto Boys and all of that. So they were loving it. You know, they were very receptive of it. It was cool.
Yeah, most definitely. You know what I'm saying? You know that, you know, rigor mortis drops, you know what I'm saying? And a couple of years later, you know, I get the Tales from the Hood soundtrack and of course Spice 1 on there killed it, you know what I'm saying? Then I get to the Space Mob track. I didn't know what to expect. And I was shocked I heard you on it, because I was always like, man, when's this next DMG record coming? What was it like to be part of Space Mob? You know what I'm saying? To come back, here you are in 95, now you're on a soundtrack. What was it like to be part of that? And how did the Face Mob form?
Well, Face Mob was great, man. Face Mob was actually the group that I created. I created Face Mob. So at that time, it was, I think it was Ice Cube and the Lynch Mob. It was like that. People had, like some of the major artists have had their crews with them. So I was like, I really specifically remember Cube and the Lynch Mob. Pot, Thug Life. Biggie had Junior Mafia. So we was like, I went to Brad one day. I went to Face like, man, look, you need a squad. And he was like, yeah, that's kind of like what's going on right now. And I was like, let's put it together. And I was like, I got an idea. And he was like, what's up? And I was like, Face Mob. And he was like, what? I was like, Face Mob. He was like, I love it. I was like, let's put it together. So I was like, but let's put it together, but let's be different with it. And basically, like, different how. I was like, let's grab members from all across the country, you know what I'm saying, and form one group. And that's what we did. So we started with me. Then we had Ray Ray, Sha Rafe. Ray Ray's from Chicago. Then we grabbed Devin. Devin was from Houston. Then came 350. We got her from Cleveland. Smith was from Houston, but he's from like another area. So, you know, that was cool. And then we added last member would have been KB, and he was from Georgia. He's from Atlanta. So once we got all the members together, it was basically just being able to put the music together and connect all the styles together, all the different styles. And that was a process, but it worked out pretty well. So Face Mob was great, man. You know, I love the Face Mob to death.
Yeah, Face Mob, man, and that was a brilliant idea. To me, it was like, you know what I'm saying, the Rap-A-Lot version of the West Side Connection. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, you're bringing all these different people together and created a group out of there. You guys, 2019, you guys got anything in the works as far as a Face Mob project or any solo stuff?
Very much so on a solo tip. Very much so. There is a new Face Mob reunion record that's in the works. It's Rap-A-Lot got a whole little reunion thing going on right now. So I know the reunion. I was just talking to AK the other day from Do or Die, and he's trying to gather everybody together so we can go on a reunion tour. But
oh hell yeah,
yeah man. I'm at the as we speak right now. I'm working on a new solo joint right now as we speak. So I'm back home in Minnesota where it all started. You know what I'm saying? I got some new management. Shout out my manager Velo right here. You know what I'm saying? Got new management and hey man, we're gonna make one more run at it, man.
Yeah, man. Hell yeah, man. Because
Scott, let me get. Go ahead,
yeah,
my man.
No
Scott, man, I'm gonna take the time right now, man. I want everybody to know, man, how much I thank you, man, and I appreciate you, man, because it's like, you know, as you go through these careers and as you go through life, people come and people go, and it's not really that many people that stick and stay, you know. And I say this, man. Hey, man, you. You've been rocking with us for a long time, man, and I appreciate that, man. And without outlets like you, we can't connect to the people that we're trying to connect to, man. And it's a beautiful thing, man, to be able to have somebody like you on the team, man, that we can shout out through and get through and that'll channel the energy out to the public, man. So I just want everybody to know, man, I appreciate you, man. It's one love with
man,
me. You know that.
Definitely, DMG. I really appreciate you too. Yeah, when we did that Rap-A-Lot roundtable, man, we had I think we had you, Yuck Mouth, Too Low, Terrorist. It was amazing to have that happen, man. And now that you're talking about this Legends tour, that's gonna be awesome, man. I hope to God I can catch one of the dates. You guys plan on doing it this summer, hopefully, or a little bit later, maybe the fall?
Man, I believe it's gonna be an as soon as possible thing. So I'm hoping it's for the summer, man. I really do. I really want to get out there this summer, man, and see everybody, you know. So I know it's in the works right now, but I will definitely keep you posted. But I do believe it's going to be for, like, the summer.
Hell yeah. That's what I'm talking about. D, I'll tell you what we're going to do, man. We're going to go to a quick break. I'm going to play this classic, you know what I'm saying, Face Mob song. And then we'll be right back. I want to chop it up with you a little bit more. And plus, the homie from France wants to ask you a couple questions about the classic songs you did. So, We'll be right
sure.
back.
For sure, let's do it. Yeah, my nigga, we up in this motherfucking house. Me about to rock this motherfucking house tonight.
I'm in here, now lay your ass down on the fucking floor. Cause I'm about to hit your ass with a fofo. And ain't no breathing when I'm coming out. So save your motherfucking self, punk bitch. Your time is running out. Cause once I pull this motherfucker back, I'ma leave the front part of your face down in your fucking lap. I'm known to leave a motherfucker stiff. And I got niggas beside me from S.A. to the bloody fifth. So what you doing? We done all done it. It's all about my motherfucking neighborhood. And if you it's all about my motherfucking neighborhood, and it's just Taylor Strong. I sing it out to all my motherfucking homies. Trying to jack one of my homies for his car.
Send his ass to the fucking
moon. To the B-O-N-E, Warren Lee from the 10B3.
S-A-O-G.
We're back to business with my nigga Big Mark and Lil Jeff. We on the block.
Turn left.
We see these motherfuckers that we feudin' with. What we do with this? We have no business with them. And nothing new to this. Keep out this bitch and rock the gear and let's go. I'm finna heat up. I pick the beat up and handle shit and kick my feet up. The first of you, I seen them standing by those APCs. Jump out this bitch, fuck them down, G. Bring me a lead arm, we saw the Swiss arm. It's all good, cause it's just another motherfucking tale from my hood. Plated heater of mine. Hitting niggas in the chest, making flesh divide. Niggas don't hear that when I'm near, I leave them froze for life. Call the doc, cause I'm about to freeze my hoes tonight. I got Stanina on my cedar, waiting for the nigga to run up on this shit and catch this slug right between the motherfucking eyebrows. Niggas lay it down and don't look for no ways to get around. No, as I hip to the hop, I hip. It's DMG Face Mob, so you know it don't quit. Give me room so I can run up in this motherfucker. Shine my 9-1 time and blast motherfuckers. Get back, stay back, and listen to this nigga with the ups. Before I fuck you up, now drop to your knees. I break it down from the stomach. Nigga, it's all about my motherfucking hood, and here's a tale from it.
I'm on the this motherfucking shit up in the sun. But they shouldn't get together good when you trying to get your buzz. I
that song never gets old. You know what I'm saying? Hard to believe that that's like coming up on a quarter century old, man. That's real talk. Killing all this music out today. You see what I'm saying? it's good to know that we got a new Face Mob project coming. We got a reunion tour. What about yourself? You said you was working on a solo album, man. What could we expect on your solo project, D?
You can expect it's going to be a street joint, man. You know, I'm a little bit older now, so I'm not in the trap. You know what I'm saying? I'm not doing that. You know, you cannot expect the mumbling and jumbling. You know, I'm going to keep it street, man. You know, and I'm going to keep it gangster for sure. You know, it's going to be what it is, but it's going to be nice, though. You know what I'm saying? I'm working hard on it, so. More is just the, like, street gangsterism. You know what I'm saying? That's what it's going to be. I'm going to keep it 100 with you. You know?
Yeah, hell yeah.
But you're not going to hear the little styles that they doing now and the patterns that they doing. We're not doing that. You know, we're keeping it the same.
Oh, thank God.
Just throwing stuff a little bit.
Man, thank God, man. I tell you what, we get a lot of music sent to us, and 80% of the time, it's guys that stay true to their craft and their fan base, you know what I'm saying, like you're talking about. Every once in a while, I hear one of these legends, and they'll have that auto-tune turned all the way up. It's like, whoa, no, you ain't supposed to be doing that.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Right,
so I'm
right.
Glad to hear that, man. I'm glad
right.
to hear that. Yeah, man, this really, to be honest with you, I think that what they're doing is not really hip-hop. It's something else, because a lot of the elements are gone. The DJ's gone. The lyrics are gone. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that shit is different to me. You know,
right.
Plus, not to mention, a lot of them dudes, man, they like to disrespect those before them, especially guys like Pac, who ain't even here no more. That's upsetting.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It is very upsetting.
And it ain't all younger dudes. There's some younger dudes that got their heads on straight that are making dope music, you know what I'm saying? I love good, talented young artists. It's just the ones that are caught up in that lamestream media hype, you know, that are fucking shit up. But
right.
I got the homie all the way from France. I know he's got a couple questions, man. He likes to ask people about different tracks that they've done over the years, and I know he's got a couple he wants to ask you about. Ken, are you there, brother?
Yes, yes, sir. What's up, Scott? What's up, legendary DMG?
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Yeah, fine. Yeah, I got a question about your song, classic song, Pays the Cost, on the album Rigor Mortis. It was a classic song. Can you tell us about this one?
You said Pays the Cost?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Pays the Cost. That was a song. I got that from, I did that song, I got that from N.O. Joe. And I went to Joe with that song and told Joe, man, I want a spicy beat, something that's kind of funky, something that's kind of hip hop, but it's gonna be, but still street. And he was like, "All right." And he was like, "Give me a minute." So I think I went somewhere. I don't know where I went, but I came back. He was like, "Man, I got something for you to listen to." I'm like, "Okay." So when I hit the studio, and he put it on. When I heard it, I was like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I like that. I like that. I like that. It kind of had, like, the little funky worm in there, I believe, like the little George Clinton sound. So I was loving it. I was like, yeah. So once I heard it, man, I just did what I did to it. And, you know, it's one of the songs that I liked, though, way back from back then, though. I like that song.
Yeah, talking about N.O. Joe, he's a very underrated producer, down south producer. He's a real gumbo funk production. Yeah, we can salute
right,
N.O.
Right,
Joe.
Right. Very underrated. Very underrated, but he's the man, I tell you. Joe got fire. He got fire.
Yeah. It's the same for Mike Dean.
Mike
the song
Dean
he did was with the Face Mob, Millions. It was a very deep track. It's a production by Mike Dean. Can you tell us about this one, too? On the other side of the
door. Right. Millions came together. we came together with, I think, Mike Dean had the track, and he kind of gathered everybody up in the studio and was like, he wanted everybody to listen to the track and tell us what we thought about it, tell him what we thought about it. And once he played it, you know, like you said, it was a deep track, so we kind of like start vibing to it, and like, yeah, what we gonna do to it? I think so. I think we ended up taking that song home that night, and we all, everybody, all the members in the Face Mob, we all sat at the house and just vibed out. And I believe Devin the Dude was the guy that was the one that came up with the title. Like, man, let's talk about some millions. I was like, everybody was like, yeah, let's do that. And we just went to work, man, and you see the finished product.
Yeah, Skeffis was on production too on this one. It was dope.
Say it again. I'm sorry.
Oh, I said Skeffis was also on the production with Mike Dean of this track.
Mike Dean?
Production with Mike Dean? Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Mike Dean was involved in
it. Hell yeah. Well, thank you for calling in, Sin. I know it's 4 o'clock
yes,
in the morning where you're
too.
At, so always appreciate
it. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. One love out there, man, to all y'all people out there in France, man. One love. I'm trying to make it out there to see y'all too.
Yeah, really thanks.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah, Sin got to bring you out there or something, man. He'd be interviewing a lot of the guys that go out there in person. So, you know what I'm saying? Definitely, that'd be dope as hell. Are you wanting to go around the globe and just do shows and just kick it everywhere?
Yeah, man. I mean, anybody, man, that's any place I can go to, man, and people are going to come out for the shows and appreciate the music, man, I have no problem going there, man. So I don't care where it's at. You know, as long as the people are going to be there and they're going to enjoy the show, I'm going to book me. I'm coming. I'm
going to ask if they want to get you for shows or features, what's the best way they can reach out to you? Facebook, social media?
You can connect with me, man. You can connect with me at Selby and Dale. That's S-E-L-B-Y, the letter N, D-A-L-E, at Gmail. That's my email. Or I'm going to give you one more email. Hold on. Let me make sure I got it right. Post it to me.
And
Nappy?
N-A-P-P-Y-S
33 at gmail.com. If y'all need to book me or you need features, hit either one of them and we'll make it happen, man, for sure. We'll make it happen.
Hell yeah. Man, I really, really appreciate you for doing this interview, man. We've been wanting to get you in the archive. I'm glad we got you in there, brother.
Hey, man, I'm glad
we,